Nobody's seen anything like this. It's different than 2008 and 2009 because it was so immediate versus that was a little more gradual. One guy told me he had actually doubled his business. Another guy was up 50%. Another guy I spoke to told me that if he didn't have recurring revenue, he'd be out of business.
For a lot of these guys, retail isn't necessarily a big part of the business. What other challenges then were they facing as, you know, integrators?
I think the biggest challenges that they faced were on the sales and marketing side. They're not online-based businesses. They're selling in the home, they're selling in their showroom, and their websites were just not up to snuff.
CE Pro is a publication that's been around the custom integration space for quite some time and has covered it very successfully. And that right there was chief content officer for CE Pro, Jason Knott, and a guy that he himself has been around and is well known, you know, as a trade media partner in this space and well respected by, you know, members of Nationwide and those who are in the custom installation space. And always great to get to sit down with Jason and talk to him. Just a highly intelligent guy that knows what's going on and from a product side of things to also the business side. So it's great to kind of pick his brain and get to learn from him what he's seen in conversations with dealers and with manufacturers. And you know, no better time than right now, I think, with, you know, lots of learnings to be done as far as how dealers are adjusting to coronavirus and working in this new environment that we're all trying to operate in. So continuing our conversations, our series with trade media partners, would obviously want to have Jason on and get to, you know, dive into this thing with him. So he had a lot to share and excited to get that on record and you know, share it out with you, our audience. Plenty to dive into. Talk about all sorts of business trends, like we said, from coronavirus, but also some new product trends that he's been keeping an eye on, some that have come up because of this. You know, it's neat to see sort of how different spaces are evolving and kind of trends that were emerging get sort of pushed to the forefront because of what we've been going through. So lots to dive into. Jason shared a lot of great things with us and excited to share that with you. So let's dive into our conversation with Jason Knott of CE Pro. All right, we're back on the Independent Thinking Podcast, and right now, continuing our series of podcasts with trade media partners, and excited to have on Mr. Jason Knott of CE Pro, Chief Content Officer over there at CE Pro. Jason, appreciate you taking time and Skyping in, videoing in here and chatting.
No, thanks for having me, Rob. I'm excited.
So, Jason, I know you've got you know, some great rapport with our custom installation guys and members here at Nationwide. But for audience members that don't know you, listeners, explain a little bit about yourself and about CE Pro and who you guys are.
Thanks. So CE Pro has been around for 27 years. And we like to say we were around before the custom installation industry actually even existed, because we coalesced all of these disparate groups of security guys and automation guys and AV guys and electricians and builders, anybody who was doing smart home automation. We kind of created this group around CE Pro. And myself, I've been the editor of CE Pro since 2000. Before that, starting in 1990, I was the editor of a security publication, Security Sales and Integration, which is one of our sister publications. So for a lot of these low voltage guys, I've been talking to them for 30 years.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, you build a lot of relationships that way for sure. And, you know, obviously it gives you the chance to learn a lot about the business and the way these guys operate on a day-to-day basis, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's really a nuanced business. You know, there's so many, and I'm sure you know from your membership, there's so many different subsystem categories that these guys can get engaged with. There's so many different ways to earn revenue, from recurring revenue, through service plans, through monitoring on the security side, through storage, camera storage, through installation, you know. And for years, this was perennially just a business where they, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, did the installation and didn't hear from the guy anymore. And now it's really progressed to this ongoing relationship that they have with their clients. So it's a complicated business.
For sure. And a lot of evolution taking place that I know we'll get into. But one other thing I wanted to ask, you know, about CE Pro and you guys, for those that might not know, maybe this goes back to my, a credit to my trade publication history, but the relationship with Emerald Expositions, explain that a little bit for those and kind of what that's done for you guys, at CE Pro over these last couple of years.
Yeah, so Emerald Expositions, who's the owner of the CD Expo, acquired CE Pro and three of our other publications in August of 2018. So it's really been, a great collaboration because it gets us much more engaged with the audience at the show level. And I think from their standpoint, one of the reasons they looked at purchasing CE Pro was to protect their investment in CD Expo. And this year, it has become even more important because CD Expo has been canceled. You know, all these in-person events have been canceled. And the reliance that the audience has on CE Pro print and especially CE Pro digital has been amazing. Our traffic has literally doubled since March. Every single month, it has doubled from what we perennially would have done in those months. So the reliance that the market has on getting the information through CE Pro has never been more important. And obviously from Emerald's standpoint, that helps them stay connected with the audience in a year when they're not going to be able to have the show.
Yeah, incredible to think about, that impact. Obviously all going back to COVID and everything we've seen with that, but also just I think a testament to the importance and kind of the awesome work you guys do over there. So turning to COVID and coronavirus and everything we've seen there, what have these past few months been like for you? I know, obviously very different, we're all sort of facing some challenges, but, my mind kind of immediately goes back to 08-09 and kind of what that was. Does this even compare to that? Like how has the impact sort of, been taken from your standpoint and what are you seeing in your coverage?
Well, it's funny because I've been, as I said, 30 years covering this business. And I was just yesterday talking to three guys who cumulatively were over 100 years.
Wow.
And nobody's seen anything like this. There's no real comparative to compare the situation and the experience that's going on right now. It's different than 2008 and 2009 because it was so immediate versus that was a little more gradual. But at the same time, it's different because I think there's still a lot of underlying fundamentals that are very strong. And I have a lot of anecdotal information. We haven't done our actual, industry surveys yet, but almost everybody I've talked to, it's very regionally based. So some regions where they were immediately hit with the virus had horrendous Marches and Aprils, where other regions where they were slow, the things weren't so bad, they were actually doing fine. And now it seems the script has flipped a little bit, and you're seeing guys where they started out slow are now coming on strong. And in fact, I talked in the last 2 weeks, I've talked to about a dozen integrators, and one guy on May 27th told me he had actually doubled his business from last year. Another guy was up 50%. Another guy I spoke to told me that if he didn't have recurring revenue, he'd be out of business.
Wow.
So it's really been a mixed bag of where everything stands. And, talking to distributors too in the space, same thing. There was that immediate last 2 weeks of March, early April, when everything just stopped. But interestingly, they saw a spurt in business on the commercial side right at the outset, because all the offices were empty. Right. So all the restaurants were empty. And I think those restaurants and businesses at that time thought it was going to be a very short temporary thing. So they said, hey, come on in and upgrade our audio and video right now, where we don't have any patrons in the restaurant or nobody in the office now. And then the residential business had stopped because nobody wanted anybody in their home. Now, I talk to those same distributors, it's just the opposite. The residential business is going very strong. People have been stuck in their homes for 90 days, realizing they have crummy audio, crummy video, crummy home networks. They need, and the genie's out of the bottle, so to speak, from the home working from home standpoint, and people realize this is may not be a temporary thing. This is going to be an ongoing need in my home. So the investment in the home is going up, where at the same time, the commercial entities are like, you know what? We don't know if we're going to come back to business. We don't know if we're going to have people back in the office, and the commercial business is slowing. So it's really a weird situation.
That's really interesting. I mean, it kind of, you know, you think about how the whole thing has played out and some of those things make sense. Like you get the opportunity as a restaurant owner or a business or even an office space where, you know, your customers or your employees aren't there. You take that chance, but now all of a sudden, did you drop that revenue too soon? Like if you're not coming back, it's just interesting to think about. But also maybe a tough way to kind of ask this question, because there is so many different you know, challenges that these guys face regionally. But, you know, if you had to kind of pinpoint either one or a couple of what some of these biggest challenges were for CI dealers, you know, what did they face as far? Because something I don't think maybe the rest of Nationwide's membership might not consider is that for a lot of these guys, you know, retail isn't necessarily a big part of the business. You know, they don't have showrooms necessarily to go to every day or retail stores. So, you know, they may not have been physically closed down in that aspect, but, you know, what other challenges then were they facing as you know, integrators?
I think the biggest challenges that they faced were on the sales and marketing side, in that a lot of integrators, they're not based online-based businesses. They don't sell a lot of online. They're selling in the home. They're selling in their showroom, as you mentioned, and their websites were just not up to snuff. And I think as things migrated to people wanting to see more online, I think a lot of them realized that their websites were not strong. And then the same token, the ability to conduct selling virtually, nobody did that. You know, now you buy a car without even going and doing a test drive. So I've heard from a lot of integrators that they're selling things virtually. The biggest drawback they're still having a challenge with is the comparative on the TVs. A lot of people want to see in person the side-by-side look at the TVs, and that's difficult to do. No matter how well you do it online, it's not the same as seeing it in person. So I think a lot of those sales challenges were what they really faced. That was the initial thing. Sure. I think a lot of them still haven't figured out how to sell virtually. One other thing I'll mention is the spurt in business is really happening in the upgrades. What we're hearing from a lot of integrators is the new projects are pretty much on hold. So a lot of the business, if not all the business happening right now, is upgrade business from clients that they had already that wanted to upgrade their network, wanted to upgrade their audio, wanted to upgrade their video. But in terms of launching into some new six-figure projects, those are few and far between right now.
Gotcha. So that kind of lends to what was going to be my next question, and that's about, you know, the construction side of things. Like, you know, some of these guys, these projects are so ingrained, you know, they get involved in the process early on, and they're part of these projects that are new builds, you know, whether it's in a home or you know, building out an extension on a home. Did a lot of that. So construction then, I guess, based on what you're saying, has sort of stopped for these guys. Could that be considered another major challenge for them?
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of the dealers I talk to in the West, where you see large housing tracts and those sorts of things, building is still taking place. So I don't know that construction is necessarily stopped, but I think that maybe homeowners aren't, even if it's a new home buyer who's doing that new home build, he's not right now looking at that big investment because they probably have a lot of money in the stock market. And that's been, you know, a roller coaster over the last 90 days. So, you know, again, I just have the anecdotal evidence from guys who told me their big projects have stopped and they're really focused on upgrades right now across the board.
Interesting. So any, anecdotal, this kind of plays right into that. Have you heard any cool stories about, you know, an integrator doing something that's very outside the box for this industry to kind of take advantage, that sounds wrong, but, you know, kind of use their skill set in a way that maybe they wouldn't have thought about because of this coronavirus situation?
It's funny. I just wrote something up on the website yesterday. It was an interesting story of an integrator in Dayton, Ohio, Audio Etc. And he has a trailer that it has six motion. It's a six seat, basically mobile home theater. And it has a big screen in it and six seats that are motion seat, D-Box motion seats. And he only used it for charity events and private outings where somebody might do a silent auction or people would bid on it and you get a dinner and a movie night in this trailer at brought to your home. So he's now converted it to, it's not just for those events because there's not a lot of in-person charity events or golf tournaments and those sorts of things taking place. He rents it out flat out for between $400 and $800 per night for people who can't go to the movies anymore.
Wow.
So think about it. Nobody can go to the movies anymore. So he pulls up, he has a catered meal, and he pulls up into their driveway, and they get to watch this fantastic movie and a big screen experience with motion seating in their driveway with a meal. And then he, of course, disinfects it between every customer because it's an enclosed space. But he said it's been amazing. So that was a real unique one. Now, in terms of not so unique, but just in terms of business categories, a couple of things that are interesting. One is voice control. So I've heard from a handful of integrators who said that the demand for voice control is definitely growing because people don't want to touch things. They don't want to touch their door locks anymore.
Yep.
And those they don't want to touch the touch panel and those sorts of things. So they're seeing a lot of demand for voice control. And one of the other things that goes hand in hand is if your home network stinks, your voice control isn't as good. So in order to bring them a quality voice control experience, then they're doing the home network. The other thing, some of the subsistence category that I'll mention is surveillance cameras. I've talked to two dealers who told me they have never installed more surveillance cameras than they have in the last 60 days. A lot of that is fear that comes with maybe some of the rioting that we've seen in the civil unrest, but it also is just the nature that with higher unemployment historically always comes higher crime.
Right.
And so the crime may not have happened yet, but people are mentally preparing for that and dealers are able to accommodate those needs.
That's interesting. And I mean, you know, you talk about to your first point about, you know, voice control and then hand in hand with that, the network. Not even just the fact that people are, you know, paying more attention to that now, but they're actively using it more. I think about all the people that are working from home. And I think you mentioned this earlier too, just putting so much strain on their technology and, you know, doing video calls or, you know, video podcasts like this and really testing what they have out. You kind of get to learn really quickly how good or how bad that was for you. And then, you know, who do you turn to but your local AV or CI guy to help you take care of that?
Yeah, I talked to one of the suppliers just this morning, and he told me they're in the networking side of the business. They're literally having supply chain issues because their network, they cannot keep the networking equipment in stock.
Wow.
So, you know, and the networking is the engine of the car, you know,
it's
the equation of the engine of the car. You know, if you don't have a solid network, then you're streaming audio, you're streaming video, your automation, your voice, all these things don't perform as well.
Interesting. Well, networking is obviously one of them, and you mentioned that being sort of the engine for the home. But are there any other, you know, looking ahead to kind of the way COVID and this pandemic has sort of retooled the way people think about, you know, health and wellness and things like that? And, you know, are there other opportunities that kind of moving forward inside the home or things like that a CI guy could look for or sort of take advantage of, you know, as we come out of this?
Yeah, a couple of things. You mentioned wellness. I also think the outdoor entertainment space is a strong potential. So I talked to an integrator in Florida he's in Jupiter Island where, you know, a dirt lot there is $9 million type deal, Tiger Woods and Celine Dion, that kind of stuff. And he said nobody, of course, wanted him in the home. He goes, but they had no hesitation whatsoever for them to go and do their outdoor projects. So we're seeing not just the outdoor entertainment with the TVs and audio, but landscape lighting that 3 years ago wasn't even a category that integrators touched. And now you can go in and literally put in five-figure landscape lighting systems for customers. And then wellness, you know, you could go on and on about all the things I was reading about. I think it was in Women's Day magazine or Women's Health that the circadian rhythm sleep patterns of people when you work from home is way off because you don't have the commute anymore. So you stay up late. And so they were recommending wellness offerings and circadian rhythm lighting or human-centric lighting. And so I've talked to a couple of integrators who are actually outfitted in their showroom. That's another one of those where I think you got to showcase it. You know, it's really hard to sell virtually. So you got to talk about, you know, the feelings that come from blue light versus yellow light versus those sorts of things. And then, you know, there's all sorts of other aspects to wellness, aromatherapy, believe it or not, soundscaping and sound masking for sleeping. So it's a very diverse category. We're right in the middle of a wellness study actually now, right now, trying to gauge the growth and interest in the category amongst integrators.
That's interesting. And something you brought up there too has me thinking, you know, obviously the showrooms for integrators aren't necessarily retail focused. It's more consultative, you know, and kind of getting people in there to see what's possible and have those project discussions and things like that. There's been a lot of discussion around how the retail experience is going to change because of, you know, this pandemic. The showroom experience, is it very similar in terms of, you know, kind of keeping things clean and sanitary? Like what are, you know, showrooms going to have? Is there going to need to be a lot of change in the showroom because of this pandemic moving forward?
I'm sure there'll have to be some change. It certainly won't be as drastic as what has to take place on the retail side, because a lot of the showrooms in our space are appointment only. So you're rarely going to have where you have this flood of people that are coming into the showroom. It's based on appointments. So they're able then, I think, to sanitize the space. It might be interesting that there could be people who, as we were talking about the TV comparatives, who really want to buy a TV, but are maybe afraid to go into a retail environment. It actually could spur people to go more into the private showroom environment to see the comparatives there. So that the verdict's still out. I'd be totally guessing on what they might do, but I think a lot of the same, you know, WHO and CDC guidelines that they're having to take, clearly they're all having to do all of that mitigation for going into the home. You know, all the N95 masks, the booties, the gloves, taking temperatures of all their technicians every single day. Even more so, a lot of integrators have to take the temperature, gauging the health of the client before they go into the home,
right?
Because they don't want to infect their technicians. So it's a two-way street from that standpoint. So a lot of them had to put that sort of mitigation in place. There was even one of the legal guys in the space who serves the industry was saying he felt that integrators should have a sign-off form for their clients and their technicians. Now he said it's really not worth doing, because when it first started out, you might have been able to trace how you got got the disease or got the virus. Now it's almost inconceivable that you could trace that. And so it's not really, he doesn't really recommend it now, but at the outset, he was recommending that every client and every technician sign some sort of a waiver form.
Wow. I mean, the way you're describing it, obviously it kind of feels more like, I think as far as nationwide members are concerned, it feels like the, you know, either furniture or appliance guys, obviously, you know, CI guys for sure, but the way they handle delivery and installation of an appliance or, you know, delivering furniture, building it, that kind of thing. But the showroom aspect of it, you know, it's not to say it was made for, you know, handling a situation like this, but we've seen retailers where they've added appointment retailing to their business model to kind of keep the flow of traffic at a minimum in their stores. So CI was almost kind of insulated from that in a sense, because they were already doing those sorts of things, which is actually kind of cool to hear.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look big picture, this is going to benefit this the custom installation smart home market. You know, all of this people, this huge amount of population stuck in their homes for 90 days is only going to breed recognition of what they need to improve in their home. So I think we will see a softness because those big projects I mentioned that have not being specified or not being, you know, designed right now. So I think once we get through this upgrade surge, you might see some softness, you know, early in the fall or later in the summer, once integrators kind of feed through those upgrades. But the long-term prospects from this are very beneficial for this industry. You know, whereas flip side, if you were a commercial real estate guy, you'd be, you know, not happy right now.
Right. No, completely understandable and imaginable. You know, it's the same. I mean, you think about just flipping to a different product category, but our furniture and mattress guys, where, you know, sitting on a couch that you maybe only sit on an hour a night after getting home from the office. You know, now you're putting long days of work in on that couch and the springs are starting to poke up into you. You feel it. So the same goes for the technology in the home where, you know, you're using these networks to try to log into the office remotely or have these video cut, you know, constant video calls. So it only makes sense. So it'll be interesting to see how that, you know, plays itself out moving forward.
It's funny you should say that, Rob, because we are getting a new couch and my daughter's getting a new bed. Swear to God.
See, what can I say? And I mean, we're doing the same. Getting our little one a new bed. You know, the mattress. Maybe it has something to do with outgrowing it during this time. But no, I mean, it's crazy. You know, you start putting in all this time on those things, and the need kind of rears its ugly head. But no.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, think about long term. We are all going to be spending more time in our homes. You know, you know, the theater business, you know, I mentioned commercial real estate, you know, restaurants, home and movie theaters. Those are going to be it's going to be a while before a lot of people feel comfortable going back to those. So, you know, I think for the next year, people are going to be looking to upgrade. We've been watching movies at home almost every night as a family. We rarely did that before.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it, you know, it's good for those who travel a lot. I don't know the familial relations and how those are handling through this. No upgrading there, but you know, it's cool to be able to spend that time and really get use out of these things that you know otherwise sat there for your 8 hours a day while you're at the office and you know. But outside of changing a little bit, obviously a lot of the conversation's been around COVID and what we've been following there, and you know what that's done to the space. Are there any other you know big trends that you've been keeping an eye on that you know looking ahead to the second half that you know maybe if you had an integrator in front of you and you wanted to tell them it's something they should keep their eye on or that they could take advantage of, you know what would you point to as some of those growing trends?
Well, we've already hit on a couple of them. I would definitely say the wellness space, it's coming into its own is the best way I can describe it. And, you know, my God, Oprah is doing a wellness tour. So if Oprah is doing a wellness, then you know it's deep into households. So I think there's an opportunity there for integrators to put themselves forth as a wellness solutions provider for their customer. And that whether that be, as I mentioned, soundscaping or, you know, even aromatherapy, or we see it even with sleep therapy and sleep, you know, the bedding is a vital part of wellness. So we're seeing things like electronic skylights that are, you know, very expensive, but they mimic natural light in the ceiling of a home. Obviously, the circadian rhythm programming in lighting, but I think that was a hot category before this happened, a growing category. Now I think it's just its growth is going to be even faster. And then I think it's an interesting thing. The dedicated theater might see a little bit of a comeback. The dedicated room has been going away in favor of the great room, the with a couches and those sorts of things in a big TV. Now, I've heard from several of the manufacturers and several of the integrators about how they're getting demand for dedicated theater space again in homes. So we'll see if that trend continues or not. But like I said, everybody's home watching movies.
Right. And they want to upgrade that experience. And I mean, you know, there's been a lot done around that in terms of improving these displays and panels that we look at. But nothing, you know, if you've had that sort of experience, which I know I've, you know, I've seen at a CEDIA or a CES, or, you know, we've done it at Primetime as well. But, you know, it's tough to compare when you get in front of one of those, you know, like 140 some inch screens with, you know, 4K projectors. And we know what's coming down the road too, with, you know, we already see a lot of 8K stuff getting out there, but it's unmatched, you know, when you get that kind of surround sound system. And but to your point, you need the space to house that kind of thing, that kind of system, and really get the most out of it.
Yeah, I think the tough part for integrators right now is it's a tough time to be taking chances and risks and exploring in diverse markets. And so a lot of them are really going back to their core competencies, which were AV and automation. And so when we talk about wellness, we talk about surveillance, talk about, you know, outdoor, we talk about voice. These are peripheral things that integrators do. And it's hard in this kind of environment to really push into a diverse market when you really kind of go back to your core. So I think that's the balance that integrators are going to have to find on their own, is when, how much do they devote to their core competency and how much do they devote pushing themselves into some of these markets that we know are going to grow. You know, home, you know, the living at home, living in place market, which we used to call aging in place or home health. That's, you know, there's a huge population of people, which my brother and I had this conversation several years ago. We went and visited assisted living places for my mom. And we both talked to each other, you know, a couple months ago, said, thank God we didn't do that, because look at how rampant the virus was in the nursing home environment. Right. And so I think you're going to see a tremendous number of people who do not want to put their loved ones in nursing care or assisted living facilities. And that means they're going to need technology in the home to take care of that person. So that's another peripheral one. That market is going to explode. There's no question. But how much resource do you devote to that right now? It's a tough one.
Right. No, that's an interesting point. And I mean, I know that this would be more of a gut feeling type of question, but kind of interested in your thoughts. You know, what's the way, you know, how do you find that balance as an integrator? Is it just based in your market? Like, how do you know when's right to kind of push those peripheral buttons and maybe back away a little bit from the traditional home theaters and speaker systems and that sort of thing to kind of, you know, strike that right balance for you?
Yeah, and it's an interesting question, because a lot of it is based on the talent that you have. And this is something that I'm sure all the Nationwide members know. Now is a great time to be acquiring top talent. There are a lot of really strong technicians, salespeople, project managers, whatever positions that might be, who are probably with companies that maybe weren't so efficient, and they're bouncing on the edge, and they're still very, very strong people. So these sorts of times are the times that you bring in a person of top talent for your team. And maybe that person becomes your champion for one of these things. Because the custom integration business, they're small companies. Our median size is 7 employees. You know, what they do just over $1 million in business. It's a cottage industry, very small companies. So a lot of times you need somebody on the team to be able to drive that. And maybe it's when you acquire that top talent at this time.
Yeah, it's a great point. And, you know, I feel like we could have entire conversations and podcasts around, you know, recruitment and talent acquisition and that sort of thing. But a lot of great stuff. And I feel like we just kind of touched the surface on it. So we could almost have our own series of podcasts, Mr. Jason, But I feel like I took up enough of your time. Unless there's, you know, what do you want to dive into? Is there anything else, or could we, you know, go on for hours like this.
I think we could go on for hours, but you and I both got to get back to work. But no, thanks for having me, Robin. And I'd love to participate whenever you want. Let me know.
It's awesome. Again, appreciate it. And, you know, certainly for those out there who weren't aware, hopefully, you know, they get on the CE Pro train and see what you guys are doing, because it's great stuff. And we enjoy having you at shows, and hopefully, you know, in person again here soon. So fingers crossed, and, you know, stay safe and stay healthy out there.
Yeah, you too, Rob. Thank you.
Awesome. And thanks again to Jason for taking time and sharing his insight and wisdom with us, things he's seen from the custom installation side of things and covered in CE Pro. So, you know, hopefully picked up a nugget or two there. Maybe you're in the CI space and hearing about some of those trends sparks some, you know, creativity or ideas that you can kind of take and run within your own business. So, you know, as always, appreciate you taking the time to listen to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.